Garth, we've had quite a ramble through the Book of Romans, haven't we? What was most surprising or notable for you in that that little journey through the book?
Well, there's quite a bit notable, actually. Years ago, when I was beginning ministry, a friend of mine, he was probably a Lutheran friend, said, you should preach through Romans at least every 5 years or so. Well, you know, more than 25 years of ministry, this is my first time, actually, in doing a series, so I apologize to my Lutheran friends. But the thing that really surprised me, or one thing that really surprised me, was when I read Romans backwards, as we did, to realize that this is not a doctoral thesis or some essay, theological essay, although it is partly that. But it's a letter written to real people, and we tried to create a picture of that. And just thinking of those people, you know, slaves, free women and men, artisans, small business owners, reading and listening to that, or listening to that letter, was really powerful for me. And the fact that Phoebe, a woman, is Paul's really first interpreter and reader of this text. So those who say Paul didn't appreciate women in ministry, I think have missed something serious, important.
Well, for me, I think what was most important was the way Paul communicated God's love for everyone. And you've already listed off a number of the groups that Paul was, or that God's love encompasses. The Gentile, the Jew, the Roman, the slave, the free, the women and the men. And then he included also in that God's love for creation. You know, pretty much putting us on the same par, as it were, on the same level. God's love is evident everywhere, and God's grace, there's really no place you can get away from it.
We took the title for this series, Not Ashamed of the Gospel, from the very first chapter, verses 16 and 17. And I hope we've gotten a sense of what Paul meant by that, his passion about the gospel and his joy in being able to share it. Remember, we've been telling you throughout this series that Romans is the big story of God's plan to reconcile the entire world, individuals, men and women, communities, and indeed the whole cosmos. And then nested inside that big story of reconciliation are other stories that include this week's text, which we'll get to in a minute. So, Claire, let's just name a few of the themes that have arisen in these stories, in Romans, just to refresh our memories.
Well, Paul talks about the gospel. He is not ashamed of the gospel, so it's good to reflect a bit on what that actually means. Gospel means good news. So let's explain that. Gospel, then, is a story. And it's a new story. It's about what's happening now or what has happened in the past. And when we put good in the front of it, what we get is a story that will bring us hope, that will provide healing for us, that will create joy and opportunity. So that's what good news is, as far as Paul seems to be indicating. And this good news is coming to the community in Rome, to the house churches there. And in that context, this is a subversive message, because what this gospel tells us, or encourages us to do, is to live out of love and respect and justice, not high commodities in the day there. And so one of the good things about that, as far as I'm concerned, too, is that we don't have to generate all this good energy on our own, because God is already at work doing these things, showing people how to live respectfully with each other. So our task, then, is to find ways to join in with what God is already doing. And he's telling this story to a community. He most often uses the plural you. So this is really for the community, all the people together.
Another theme is found in that little word all, A-L-L. It's used 71 times in the book of Romans, and that just indicates the largeness of the scope of Paul's idea of salvation and righteousness. And it's kind of a direct attack on all those who want to narrow the gospel. Remember that hymn we love to sing, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy"? I think that's what Paul means when he uses that word all.
And included in that all is creation. Creation also waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. just like us. Creation waits for the kingdom of God to be realized. Can you imagine how it would be if we were all living in harmony with creation, with no stress on the climate, no stress on the resources? If we could live in harmony with creation.
And two more words, just to refresh your memories. Romans is about salvation. And as I remind you, salvation has three different tenses. We were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved when it comes, the kingdom comes in its fullness. And this salvation begins through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. The second word is righteousness. And that's a big word, and often we've defined that term, the Christian church has defined that term very narrowly, referring to just my own individual standing with God. But we've tried to insist, and I think that's in keeping with Paul's teaching, that righteousness really should be better translated God's covenant justice. And those two words are important, God's covenant justice. Covenant refers to the fact that God is going to be faithful to his promises to the Jews that he made long ago through Abraham. And when we looked at Romans 9-11, that's what we found. And then justice. God is about making everything right in the world. That's the entire cosmos. So God's covenant justice is really what Paul means when he uses the word righteousness. It's a big, expansive, inclusive, all-encompassing term.
And then in today's text, Paul makes the point that life is hard. It seems we cannot live without some pain and some struggle. It's just the nature of being alive. In just a few minutes, we will be naming those who have recently died. We have been separated from those we love, and in some cases, we weren't even able to gather as a church community to say our goodbyes. The pain of loneliness is very deep. So life is difficult, and maybe more so because of COVID-19, the pandemic restrictions right now. What will Christmas be like without family gatherings? How can we celebrate Christmas without lighting candles together on Christmas Eve as a church community? Life is hard.
Paul recognizes this truth, and he asks some important questions. And so we're going to look at Romans 8, verses 31-39 now. In the translation from J.B. Phillips, because I think it's a really vivid translation, and we get a sense in these verses of Paul's struggle to understand what role God plays in our experiences of suffering and of loss. So beginning at verse 31, Claire.
In the face of all this, what is there left to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, can we not trust such a God to give us, with him, everything else that we can need?
Who would dare to accuse us, whom God has chosen?
The judge himself has declared us free from sin.
Who is in a position to condemn?
Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us.
Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, pain, or persecution? Can lack of clothes and food, danger to life and limb, the threat of force of arms?
No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who has proved his love for us.
I have become absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, neither messenger of heaven nor monarch of earth, neither what happens today nor what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high nor a power from below, nor anything else in God's whole world has any power to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. God is powerfully at work in our world and in each of our lives, even right here in Saskatoon at the corner of Avenue O and 29th Street.
On this Eternity Sunday, these words remind us that we don't need to fear the future, even death, because Jesus has gone on ahead. One dark Good Friday, he engaged all the forces of darkness and destruction by surrendering to death. And then on Sunday, he showed himself alive to his disciples. He was victorious over death, and he is alive today. Even in the midst of our grief, our anxieties, our fears about the future, we remember Jesus who has made the way safe for us, for those of us who follow him.
So in the face of all this, what is there left to say? We affirm and trust that God has made a promise that God intends to keep, that nothing will ever separate us from God's love. Amen.
Amen.